Hello and welcome to another episode of the Investors Chronicle Extraction podcast, in which we speak to executives of some of the most interesting London listed resources companies. I'm Alex Newman, a writer at the Investors Chronicle, and today I'm joined by Mathios Rigas, Chief Executive of East Mediterranean Focused Energy and Oil and Gas, which completed the sector's largest IPO in nearly 4 years when it listed in March. The company raised $460 million in fresh equity, promptly signed a $1.3 billion debt facility, and gave the green light to the massive Karish gas project offshore Israel. Mathios, many thanks for joining me this morning. It's been a very busy year and much has changed. So could I just start by asking you to bring us and listeners who may not be familiar with energy and up to speed on the company's current operations and major plans?
Yes, thank you. It's been indeed a very busy year, and a year that was a transformational year for Energean, a company that I started about 10 years ago with the acquisition of the only producing asset in Greece. Energean has oil production offshore in Greece in a field called Prinos, a field that's been in production for a long time. We took it over in 2007 and rejuvenated the field, brought it back to life. When we took it over in 2007, the asset had only 2 million barrels of 2P reserves, an 800 barrel production. And coming fast forward to where we are today, the Prinos field is producing close to 4,000 barrels a day. That was the exit production for last year. It has more than 40 million barrels of reserves and another 20 million barrels of contingent resources. It's sitting on infrastructure that can produce up to 30,000 barrels a day, and it still remains the only producing hydrocarbon asset of the country. It was the asset that we started with. Then we expanded into Western Greece, where we took over three blocks when the Greek government did an international bid round. Then expanded onto Montenegro and the East Adriatic. So we are exploring the East Adriatic and Western Greece in partnership with Repsol in Western Greece. And last, but obviously not least, we got the Karish and Tanin assets in Israel, when the Israeli government decided that they wanted to break the monopoly that had been created by Noble and Delek, who were the only producers of gas in the country. And we participated in a competitive bid. We won a number of different companies that were bidding for the assets and took over the asset in December of 2016. That was when we got the approval from the Israeli government. Since then, we submitted a development plan to the government, which was approved to develop the Karish and Tanin fields with the use of a floating production storage and offloading vessel, an FPSO. We submitted a plan in May of 2017. It was approved in record time in 2 months. By the end of July, we had everything approved. We signed gas sales agreements with the leading power producers and industrial companies in Israel for a total of about 4.2 BCM a year for 15 years. So removed completely the commercial risk on the project, raised, as you said correctly, $1.3 billion of project financing, and completed the project with the IPO that we did in March and raised $460 million, following which immediately we took the final investment decision for the project. In a nutshell, Energean is a company that is producing oil in Greece, exploring in Western Greece and the Adriatic with Repsol, and developing a $1.7 billion project in Israel, which is a fully de-risked project through the gas sales agreements and the contract with Technip.
What was it about your business which made you a good match with investors here? Was it primarily the Israeli assets which you managed to sign the deal for?
Well, we're an East Med focused company, and we focus on the East Med because we understand the rocks and we understand very well also the geopolitics and how to do business in this part of the world. So raising close to $500 million is a massive challenge. And as you rightly said in your introduction, there hasn't been an IPO in the London market for many years. So it was not an easy task to raise this amount of money in the market. London is a natural fit for us. London investors, London-based investors, or investors that invest through the London Stock Exchange understand a lot better this part of the world. The other alternatives that we had were New York and possibly Toronto, but being in Europe and focused on the East Med, London was the natural place for us. Also, understanding the E&P sector was very important for us, the last 4 years, we haven't seen a lot of activity in the IPO or any activity in the IPO side of the business in the London Stock Exchange. And a lot of the investors have moved specialists out of oil and gas into other areas. So it was a big challenge for us to bring specialists, but also generalist investors in the IPO, and we were successful to do that. And obviously, the market has rewarded us by giving the amount of money we needed for the equity of the project, but also with a share price that has performed relatively well in the last few months since we listed.
Sure thing. And I mean, part of that, no doubt, is that this is another pretty strong year for oil prices. It's fair to say that you're not as geared to the oil price as some of your peers in London are when you're looking at the long-term investment case. I'm right in saying that, because you have these long-term fixed-price gas contracts in Israel.
Energean is a company that has its business underpinned by long-term gas sales agreements. 75% of our business will be gas when we bring Karish and Tanin on stream in the first quarter of 2021. And these gas sales agreements have hard floor prices and indexation that is uncapped. So we could see higher gas prices, but we have a hard floor that protects our revenues. We have close to $12 billion of revenue secured through those gas sales agreements. So you're absolutely right to say that this is a business that is insulated from fluctuations of the oil price. Having said that, we have 30 million barrels of reserves in Israel, and we have another 40 million barrels in Prinos and 10 million barrels. So we have a substantial oil exposure to keep the upside in terms of the oil price as well. So that was one of the key concerns of investors when we went through the roadshow and tried to raise the funding. Investors wanted to get back into the sector because the sentiment, I think, is coming back. But they were looking for a story that was different, that was not reliant only on oil prices, but had a lot of protection, as we do, from the gas price, but retained the upside of the oil price from the oil production we have in Greece and we will have in Israel.
One thing that strikes me as interesting is that if you compare your listing with other recent IPOs in London, one of the priorities it seems to be that other investors have set is for cash generation. You, for the next 3 years, are going to be, I mean, obviously you do have cash generation and production in Greece, but you're going to be drawing down quite heavily on your debt facilities. How do you balance the concerns of investors who are going to be seeing you move increasingly into a net debt position between now and 2020, 2021?
Well, we don't envisage us being as a corporate in a net debt position, because we don't have any corporate debt. All our debt is at the project level. So Israel, the Israeli project is executed through a subsidiary called Energean Israel, where we are partners with Kerogen. We have 70%, Kerogen has 30%. And all the debt is at that subsidiary level on a project finance basis without any recourse to the parent. The same applies to Greece, where we have a reserve-based lending facility that, again, is used to fund the Greek operations, but doesn't have any recourse to the parent. So as a corporate, we have virtually no debt. We have debt at the subsidiaries and at the project level. Now, to develop a $1.7 billion project, obviously you, with long-term gas contracts, leverage is of great use to investors because it substantially improves project and equity returns, which was the reason why we wanted to raise project finance debt. And we saw a lot of appetite for this piece of debt, both from the international market, but also from the local Israeli market, who through the syndication has taken a big piece of this debt. We envisage ourselves being cash flow positive for the next four years until we produce cash from Israel, because the Greek assets, because we have a very low operating break-even, which is below $20 a barrel, are very cash flow positive. The fact that we have infrastructure that can handle 30,000 barrels a day without any further investment means that every barrel that we add to our production goes straight to the bottom line and improves cash flow and profitability. So this is a business that for the next 3 years will be, depending obviously on oil price, will be cash flow positive. Obviously, cash flows will substantially increase when we bring the production from Israel on stream. But as I said, the fact that all our debt is at the subsidiary level and there's no corporate debt gives us a lot of comfort that this is a very low leveraged business at the corporate level.
So a big question I imagine those debt providers had in when they were organising the facility would have been on the outlook for the Israeli gas market. And so obviously the projections are that it's going to grow massively, albeit it is still fairly nascent market in some ways. Just a couple of questions on that point, Matthias. One, do you run the risk in some ways of geographic over-concentration? And what are the risks posed from potential competition? And secondly, looking on a longer term horizon, so a sort of decade plus view of the Israeli gas market, we often hear about supermajors' strategic pivot to gas, but is there not a replacement threat to gas longer term as there is to oil and other hydrocarbons that we talk of at the moment?
Two totally separate issues. The first one, the outlook for the gas market in Israel. To start with, I would say that our main business and the basic cash flows is all underpinned by the long-term gas contracts. So we don't really have a risk of what the Israeli gas market is going to do. In terms of the upside, because that is what is the most interesting part of our business in Israel, at the moment, the Israeli gas market consumes close to 10 BCM a year. And the government of Israel has started an initiative to completely gasify the economy. And the first moves they're doing is to shut down coal-fired power generation and replace it with gas-fired power generation. This will substantially improve or increase the demand for gas in the country. In addition, they are doing all the right moves to bring electric vehicles, which are big users of electricity, obviously, and the power generation is all done in Israel, and moving also to use of CNG in public transportation and trying to improve the grid to bring gas to the market. So the projection is that the Israeli gas market will potentially double in size and reach the 18 to 20 BCM level in the next decade. Electricity demand is growing by a rate of about 3% a year in Israel, and that demands more gas-fired power plants, which will obviously supplement this increased demand. So we do see an increasing gas market, and a market that is totally isolated from the rest of the world. Israel doesn't have any grid connection from an electricity perspective, so all the electricity has to be or is produced at the moment locally. So we do see substantially more gas demand in the country, and we also see export opportunities from Israel. There are major infrastructure projects that are being discussed. At the moment, there's a contract that the Israelis have signed with the Egyptians to export gas to Egypt. There's a proposal that we have made to export gas to Cyprus. There's a major pipeline that is being discussed called the East Med gas pipeline that is being heavily supported by the European Union to bring East Med gas into Europe. And these are major infrastructure projects that will open up a market beyond Israel. So it's not just the increase of demand of Israel, it's also the region that could be supplied from Israel and the East Mediterranean gas. from our perspective, beyond the reserves we have in Karish and Tanin, we recently announced that we have 5 more blocks that we won in a tender in Israel that contain 7.5 TCF of prospective resources signed off by our auditor, which is Netherland Sewell. And we have a lot more capacity on the infrastructure we're building, because the FPSO that we have contracted Technip to build for us has an 8 BCM capacity a year, of which only 4.2 is contracted, as I mentioned earlier. So we have the infrastructure, we have the blocks and the resources, and we have a local market that is growing, and we have an international market that we can connect to through the infrastructure projects that are being developed as we speak. So we see a lot of upside coming from us being in Israel. Now, the second question about the long-term threat of gas, yes, renewables are playing a bigger role continuously in this world, but still the world needs and will need a lot of stable electricity production from a clean source of energy, and this is gas. So our shift as an Aegean is to be in the gas market. We are a dedicated player in the E&P sector of the East Mediterranean, so we think we are in the right spot at the right time to take advantage of all these opportunities, the new discoveries and the infrastructure projects that are being built to connect the East Med with the rest of the world and primarily with Europe.
Excellent stuff. Sorry, I threw a lot at you there in one go, Matthias. Just on that point, I mean, the super majors' interest, particularly in major gas projects, you would have thought makes you a potential takeover target. I know we've talked about this before, but is your focus on Israel, is that a potential complicating factor to a potential takeover premium that any investor might apply to you?
Well, obviously, until now, there was a limitation on companies that did business in Israel that couldn't do business in a lot of Arab countries. But this is a very fluid and dynamic environment, and things continuously change. I mentioned earlier that Israel is discussing and has very close ties with Egypt to export gas. There are other countries that have very strong relationships with Israel that didn't have relationships before. So I think the limitation is there, but when the market has been developed and when there are infrastructure projects that connect these major discoveries with the rest of the world, everybody will be looking at opportunities in the region. So I don't see it as a limiting factor in the longer term. Potentially, people that don't understand Israel and don't do business in Israel perceive the country as having a bigger geopolitical risk. But I think if you see the rating of the country that continuously improves from the international rating agencies, and if anybody visits Israel, you will see a tremendous economy that is growing. And we are certainly very comfortable to do business in the country. So our target at the moment is to develop Karish and Tanin, to find more gas in the neighboring blocks that we want, to find more markets, both in Israel and outside of Israel. And obviously, we're continuously looking at M&A opportunities that are available to us in the region. So we are focused on the growth of the business, and obviously we're looking to cooperate with any company that is interested in entering this very exciting market.
Matthias, you and your management team, how are you personally invested in the company? I think always an important for potential investors that their company management do have a sort of stake in the business as well.
Alex, I think this was probably the most important part of the success of our IPO. And I started this business, as I said, 11 years ago in 2007. And before the IPO, I was a 25% shareholder. Post-IPO with a dilution, I'm a 12.5% shareholder of Energean. So I'm very, very heavily invested in this business and totally aligned as a shareholder and a manager of the business with the other shareholders. And this was a very important factor for all shareholders, or most of the shareholders that invest in the IPO, that this is a unique situation where the senior management team, and the same applies for our CFO and the rest of the executive management team, they're very heavily invested in this business, and our life and future is very closely tied with the success of Energean. So we are a very different proposition from many other companies, totally focused on the East Med, which makes a big difference. I think companies of our size have to be focused with a management team that is totally aligned with shareholders through the investment we have in the business, and with a stable and protected downside, but all the upside, both from the oil and the gas business that we're running in this region. So it was a very different proposition, I think, that brought this IPO to become a success.
Good stuff. Well, there you have it. So Energy and Oil and Gas, the ticker is ENOG, and listed in London. Matthias, very many thanks for your time today. And to listen to more audio from the IC, go to our website or search for us on Acast, iTunes, or wherever you normally get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.